Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our devoted Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov, and we're so glad you have joined us in our weekly Bible study, and pray that you are good students of God's Word. For that is the highest form of worship unto God, to study about His Son, our salvation. And because you believe in your hearts, we will all reap the harvest coming soon. So just hang in there, saints, and let Jesus carry your burdens. Let's open in prayer.
Abba, Father, we praise and thank you for your many gold nuggets as we bless you with our agape love and with the highest of praises and honor. May we be worthy of your favor as you lead our way and protect us in these last days. We thank you for the release of the hostages in Russia and pray for the release of all in various places and in Israel. We lift up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved ones. Direct our leaders to do thy will, and may this study bring glory unto you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Israel update.
Oh, well, there's a war on many fronts, as we've been saying for quite a while, and it continues as Israel awaits Iran's threats of great proportion in response to the IDF taking out that Hamas leader, his name Haniya, something like that, who was visiting Iran to celebrate their new president. It had only been a week since the IDF also killed a main leader of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and just yesterday killed five more commanders in Gaza.
However, rockets and drones continue to fly today from Hezbollah into Israel's north.
Mm-hmm. So we see, as Psalm 83 points out, many enemies of Israel are joining together against her, except for those in the Abraham Accords, and also Jordan and Saudi Arabia and even Egypt are being more bystanders, but still trying to defuse Iran with serious talks to Iran's new president. Israel's enemies, as well as Americans' enemies, I might add, are all the proxies of Iran, actually, along with Syria and Iraq. In fact, yesterday, a U.S. airbase in Iraq was attacked with rockets. Several of our soldiers were injured.
Hey, even Turkey is beginning to get involved.
Mm-hmm. But remember God's promise. I think you should read that, verses 2 through 5 in Psalm 83.
For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against you and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you.
We are watching the Shiites and the Sunnis, who are not on the same page religiously, now coming together for the greater goal. Eventually, by the end of the tribulation, Psalm 83 verse 13 says, they will become a whirling dust and chaff before the wind. Until then, Israel will do what they are led to do, with a possible preemptive strike to Iran if their intelligence proves that a necessity.
Many wonder that attacks directly from Iran will purposely happen on the ninth day of Av,
which is next week, as so many tragedies have happened on that day,
which we will expound on tonight.
Well, the timing is fitting. And let us never forget what God told Moses about their enemies in Canaan in Deuteronomy 1:29.
Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt.
Remember, too, everything is in God's timing.
So, what is your discernment about Iran?
Well, I think Iran will do something to save face, as they were pretty embarrassed over Hamas leader Haniyeh's assassination in their own homeland. but probably only a pinprick. And again, that's just to save face, because they are still building up for Ezekiel 38, even though they might not realize that. And they will not yet take the chance of Israel doing some really bad damage,
which they would do.
Also, America is helping. And Ezekiel 38 says they'll be totally alone, which is why I think America will be deemed incapable soon into the tribulation.
Well, especially if the Dems win November's election.
For sure. And while we're on that topic, a group of drag queens has recently released a music video in support of Kamala Harris, which comes after over 1,100 pro-LGBTQ plus political leaders, including Hollywood celebrities and social media influencers, signed a letter endorsing Harris and her bid for the White House with her very progressive now running mate, Governor Tim Walz.
Are there more Democrats than Republicans?
Well, that's a good question, but they sure are working hard to make that a reality with the many illegal immigrants. And by the way, according to Real MacRecker, at least 14,000 non-citizens have admitted on video as being registered to vote.
And they just keep coming.
We are being invaded, to include many on the terrorist watch list.
Yeah, well, you know, and many from Venezuela, who just had their election.
Oh, yeah, where the socialist Maduro refuses to announce the number of votes that he insists he won. You know, at one time, Venezuela was a gem of a rich country until the people were duped, and soon their new leader, Maduro, convinced them to give back their guns under the guise of safety.
Yeah, adding many regulations.
And now extreme inflation where they can't afford to buy food.
Sound familiar?
So his contender, Gonzalez, and the protesters can't even perform a successful coup. As well, Maduro has support from some really bad actors like Cuba, Russia, and China, who have sent in some reinforcements. Meanwhile, he has released the dangerous prisoners with a free pass coming to America.
And we welcome your comments, end time questions, and prayer requests, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much appreciated, which includes you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, we have a Memorial Day coming up on the Hebrew calendar next Monday, beginning at sundown, till Tuesday at sundown.
In Hebrew, it's called Tishah B'Av.
Tishah B'Av.
Tishah B'Av.
Or the ninth day of the month of Av, where they fast in deep mourning over some extremely important and mostly tragic historical events happening all on the same date. And the Jewish people will admit to you, this day is a judgment from God for their many acts of rebellion throughout history, as Moses wrote down and warned them about before he died, and in fact, laid it out in great detail from chapter 28 to the end of Deuteronomy.
Yeah, let's all reread that this week.
Amen. It really is thought-provoking how many horrific events all occurred on the same date throughout many years. Which is why they hold their breath till the day is over at sundown while fasting and praying that nothing of great significance happens.
We will see, as it's only a week away.
Yes, it actually ends next Tuesday at sundown.
So tonight we will outline the major ones from the beginning.
It truly does give one a deeper perspective about our God, and he does correct them and us. But we really see how certain dates are important to him.
Well, you know, God is a date setter.
I believe it's true. So way back in the Old Testament, as recorded in Numbers 13, tradition says it was on the ninth of Av when God condemned the people because of the 10 out of the 12 spies.
One from each tribe.
Remember, they returned with a negative report concerning the giants in the land that scared them. So they refused to go into Canaan, even though God told them to, and that he would be the ultimate conqueror.
But they would not trust God.
So God made the decree that all those left of the doubting generation would never enter the promised land.
Except the two believing spies, Joshua and Caleb.
Right. Still, they would remain in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation died off.
All that consequence for rebelling against God.
Who, by the way, more than proved to them he was the God above all gods when he took them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. A lesson that still applies today to all of his righteous, to always have a trusting belief in God, especially during times of great trials of testing. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says,
without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Did you get that, saints? He rewards those who seek him with diligence, because faith comes by his word. We urge you to know him more by digging deeper into his word.
Yeah, just don't read it and then move on.
Right. So another time, many centuries later after Solomon built his wonderful temple, there came Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon,
who on the ninth of Av began burning Solomon's gorgeous temple, and it was gone by the next day.
Jeremiah 52:12.
So then again, centuries later, not only had the first temple been destroyed on ninth of Av, so was the second temple.
On the ninth of Av.
This time burned down by the Romans in 70 AD. Now it was called Herod's temple because he wanted to make nice with the Jewish people. So he remodeled it and made it much more luxurious than did Ezra's boys.
And there's still more.
The Israeli region called Betar, which was the last fortress to hold out against the Romans during the revolt of Bar Kokhba,
who was the hailed military leader at the time for the Jews.
Yes, and they tried to stand up to the Romans, but in 135 AD, again on the ninth of Av, they fell hard, which pretty much sealed the fate of the remaining Jewish people. Because then, 1 year after the fall of Betar,
again on the ninth of Av,
the whole Temple Mount area was plowed under, leaving only the western wall that we see today.
But was later resurfaced.
Yes, and still called the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock was built around 690 AD, supposedly on the same site as once stood the Hebrew Temple. But now we know probably not. But rather, the temple stood about northwest of the Dome of the Rock, over what we call the Dome of the Tablets.
So the third temple can be built without destroying the rock.
And it will be. Then later, during the diaspora in 1290, also on the ninth of Av, King Edward I of England expelled all the Jews out of England. And isn't it interesting to note that England's prosperity drastically fell after he did that?
Well, you know, God did say, those who bless Israel, I will bless also.
But if you don't, you are cursed, and they were. And then 200 years later, Spain did the same thing.
On the ninth day of Av.
Yep.
In 1492.
Yep. King Ferdinand of Spain issued an expulsion decree, setting the ninth of Av as the final date by which not a single Jew would be allowed to walk on Spanish soil. Now, come on. No human person could arrange all that on the same date.
You know, it is pretty wild.
Obviously. We'll say it again. Dates are significantly important to God.
Amen to that.
And there's still more.
World War I, 1914.
Yep. which began the downward slide to the Holocaust.
Beginning on the ninth day of Av.
Then, in 1942, the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka was on the ninth of Av. So you can see why devout Jews around the world seriously mourn, fast, and pray on Tisha B'Av. It is important to understand that out of all these nine occurrences, the Jews were most profoundly sorrowful over the loss of the manifest presence of God that dwelt in the temples emanating from the Holy of Holies to all of Israel.
Of course, as Christians, we are his temple.
Therefore, we feel him everywhere we go. But in spite of all their faults, with Jews being mostly secular today, God, to fulfill his promise to Abraham, his face is still turned towards his land and the Jewish people,
who one day will all find true salvation.
Unfortunately, it will take a war to do it, and Iran is gearing up for Ezekiel 38. That will happen after God removes all his righteous ones.
Amen.
So to many, there is a dimension of his presence that is missing since the temples were destroyed.
And why the religious want it restored.
Too bad they don't realize yet that Satan too wants that temple built so he can sit in the Holy of Holies for his own adoration and to be worshipped as God. But actually, he's the man of perdition, the Antichrist. So bottom line here is I think it's important for you all to pay attention to see how God really does arrange events to occur on anniversary dates, as we have often shed light on. And one of the reasons I believe he will come back for his bride on a particular anniversary date also.
Oh, for sure.
And more on all that next month.
Okay, we still have a few minutes.
Good. Because you should know that a rare occurrence is happening next year, 2025, by the Vatican, who also knows it's the beginning year of the next Jubilee. It's been 10 years since the Shroud of Turin was displayed in Rome. And usually when the Shroud is about to be displayed, we get a slew of questions on whether we think it's an authentic Shroud of Jesus Christ.
We do not, and here's why.
The number one reason are the coins on the eyes. It was not a custom in the first century for Jews to put coins on eyes, and even if they could, it would never be Roman coins with an astrologer's staff on it. Another reason is Isaiah 50 says his beard was plucked out.
Well, you know, the shroud clearly shows a full beard.
Also, the Jews did not bury their dead in a long cloth, but rather strips of linen, using a separate piece of linen for the head, which was seen laying separately in the empty tomb.
Well, as written in John 20.
Mm-hmm. And like they did in Egypt, they were still burying the bodies of using strips of linen, separating the legs, which is why it was easy for the risen Lazarus to walk out of his tomb when Jesus called his name.
You know, that's a good point. John 11:44.
Mm-hmm. And what is very important to reflect on is surely you know that God would never want people to worship a cloth.
Which many have done.
And apparently still are.
Mm-hmm.
Even kneeling before this piece of linen. In fact, it was against God's law in Exodus 20 verse 4 to have any image of anything in heaven, to include God or anything under the earth, and any paintings were not to have faces on them. Yet the modern church is prepared to flock to a mystical Shroud of Turin, like an idol. Did God change his mind and suddenly decide that he wanted a self-portrait?
Not likely.
Because we know God wouldn't allow it.
Bye, but you know, Satan would.
Oh, yeah, and here's the thought. You know, 30 years ago, it came to my mind that perhaps the Antichrist would look similar to the shroud.
Mm-hmm.
And all would think Jesus had returned.
That's a pretty good deception.
And I read an article on a Christian website that said that many do indeed believe it is the actual burial cloth of Jesus. So, if they can fake his DNA, which certainly seems plausible in this day, they could lie and say they found out who his descendants are. Yeah, you heard me right. Look at the big picture in all this. Can you see Satan's scheming?
To disprove the gospel so people will believe it.
Except the tribulation saints. And that's because of what we're saying today. But the search for a genetic bloodline of Jesus has been going on for years and is setting the stage for the Antichrist. And believe me, Rome is behind it all. Which is why Pope Francis, in front of everybody, prayed in front of this cloth when it was last displayed in 2015. Again, deception is Satan's real name. New Age gurus and many cults, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses and others, have long claimed that Jesus was just a teacher, just a man who achieved a higher consciousness. Scientists can no longer deny his existence. Muslims portray him as a prophet, but the real Christian identifies through faith and the Holy Spirit that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but truly God incarnate.
Saying that Jesus Christ was just a man denies his divinity.
Well, exactly. And thereby denies the mission and existence of the Savior, which destroys the entire message of the New Testament and advances the agenda of the Antichrist. Bottom line, that poor and badly beaten individual whom the cloth portrays is not Jesus Christ. And that's how we see it, as lies continue to be told and magnified. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, humble yourself in a kneeling position. Repent. Repent for all your sins, but particularly for denying his true salvation and for staying away from him so very long. Do it now. And if you're not sure about your salvation, then do it again. Be certain of your salvation. Don't just have a head knowledge, as Matthew 7:21 points out, that they'll say they were Christians, but Jesus says, but I never knew you. Don't let that be you. And now I want to leave you with Numbers 6:22, and by now I'm sure you have it all memorized and can say it along with me. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That perfect shalom that never leaves a Christian. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom. Jerusalem. Pray for our leaders, our fellow Christians, to stay strong. And of course, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, we're talking about Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many, many ways. Lots of things that you probably don't even realize. God is your protector, and he watches over you. So love Jerusalem, because it will be our home someday. And again, memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, tell someone about Jesus. And we'll see you next week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.